Hello and welcome to our traditional online service this morning. And my name's Peter Myers and I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints. And it's a very warm welcome to you all. It's great to be back together again. Now, before we start the service, we are going to have communion later and you may want to get some bread or some wine or some fruit juice to be able to symbolically join in that act of communion later. Also, I want to encourage you to perhaps get a candle, and we're going to light that as well to be wherever you are. We also will need some words, so you've got the responses. They may come up on the screen, or you can use, for some of you, you will have this book at home or the words from the website. So you might want to stop this now, go and get those things, and then rejoin us. So today is the Feast of Christ the King. It's the final Sunday in the Christian calendar. And today's feast proclaims the sovereignty of Christ over creation. And next week is Advent, the beginning of the church calendar, the beginning of the anticipation, the cycle of our church calendar, where we anticipate Christ's birth. But today is the celebration of Christ's sovereignty over the world and creation. And if you have got a candle like me, I want to suggest that you light a candle. Christ, light of the world, sovereign over all things. Well, it's the Feast of Christ the King, yes, but we're going to continue with our series and teaching on to learn to be unhurried, to live life at God's pace. And Dave later is going to be teaching into the final of our series, and he's going to be teaching into slowing down. So let us begin. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Let us sing our first hymn in reflection of that feast. And our first hymn is Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. Thank you. So let us say the prayer of preparation together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. So let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed. Through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, we are truly sorry for the sake of and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for this Sunday, the Sunday before Advent. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship to his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Alan's now going to come and read the lesson for today, and then Dave is going to come and teach on slowing down.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, and it's a passage which refers to the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello everybody, it's nice to be with you again. When I told Alice, my wife, that I would be preaching on this sermon on slowing down, her initial reaction was simply to laugh at me. She laughed because I'm not renowned for doing things slowly. I walk fast, I eat fast, I work fast, and as I have lately found out, I even read the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry book fast. Slow just isn't what comes naturally to me. My attitude so often is, if it can be done quickly, then do it quickly, and then there's more time to do other things. And yet over the years for me, that has taken its toll. It's caused me to crash and burn out. And over the last couple of years, God's been teaching me, or perhaps I should say trying to teach me, to live differently, to live at a slower pace, to live at a pace that he has created me to live at. And I am very much a work in progress, aren't we all? I'm learning as much from this book we've been reading as anyone. But I am making progress. I am learning and taking small steps to live differently. And I want to say it's life-giving. It's transformative. For the first time in my life, I'm beginning to really glimpse something of what Jesus meant in Matthew 11 when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I would say that it's helping me to discover more joy in my life again. I'm learning more what life in all its fullness means that Jesus promised us. And so perhaps Alice should not have laughed when I mentioned this sermon, because perhaps it needs a person just like me, a person who struggles with going slowly, a person who is very much a work in progress, to teach and share on this topic and on this passage. And so let's begin by looking at the story of Mary and Martha from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. I'd love you to get your Bibles out and open it in front of you. And in the true spirit of preaching slowly, I want to invite you to look through this passage right now and ask yourself, how does this passage speak into all four of the principles that we've been learning in recent weeks? Silence, Sabbath, simplicity, and now slowing. Just pause for a moment, read the passage yourself, and think, what does it speak into those things? You see, I think this passage, out of any passage in the Bible, beautifully sums up the journey that we've been on over these last few weeks. And the journey I hope that we will continue to be on. Because it's so important that this isn't just seen as just another course to do and move on from, but that this is a whole culture of behaviour, a whole way of learning to live differently, to live God's way. So I wonder what you saw in the passage. I want to share with you some reflections that I've seen, actually for the first time, as we've looked at this passage, which is familiar to many of us. And first of all, what we see, isn't it, is we see a hurrying Martha, a flustered Martha, a Martha who complains that she has been left to do all the work by herself. And Martha, who, as we're told in verse 40, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I wonder who thought all those preparations had to be made. Clearly Martha did, didn't she? But did Jesus? Did Mary? You see, it's interesting to see Jesus' response to this statement from Martha. In verse 42, Jesus says in the newer version of the NIV, "Few things are needed, or only one." I'd never seen that phrase before, partly because in my old NIV, it's hidden in a footnote. But it's a significant phrase, isn't it? Few things are needed. You see, Jesus had transformed Martha's "all these preparations have to be made" into "few things are needed, or only one." I think that's powerful and a real lesson for all of us here. For Martha had missed the point of what was needed. She had tried to do far more than Jesus ever required or asked of her. And that led to her rushing around and missing out on what was most important, being with Jesus. My wife, Alice, makes no secret of the fact that hospitality and cooking are not one of her great passions in life. She's a great cook, as some of you will have experienced, but it's not what she feels God has created her for, shall we say. And she often has told me the story of how when she was a youth worker in Bath, she would regularly invite people round and they would simply share beans on toast together rather than any big grand meal, because what was most important was the relationship and connection which she could offer so much more of if she offered beans on toast rather than any gourmet food. And you know, I think Jesus was proud of her for doing that. I think Jesus would have said she's got her priorities exactly right. And this, I think, is what Jesus is trying to communicate to Martha here, that in her great generosity and good intentions of making a gourmet meal for Jesus, she'd missed the point of what was most important, that connection and relationship. You see, I can hear Jesus saying to her in a 21st century way, "Martha, Martha, you felt you needed to provide me with a 5-star Michelin meal when all I wanted was beans on toast and your presence." For Jesus wanted to show her that out of all those things that Martha had felt had to be done, only a few, or only one, was really needed. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, don't rush around making life overcomplicated. Slow down. Simplify. Why? So that we can be more present to God and to others. I wonder what Jesus would say if he came to our house. What would he say if he looked at our lives? See, how many things do we say, but I must do this. These things have to be done. I must do this for my family. I must do this for my work. I must do this for my church. When Jesus wants to say to us, few things are needed. You see, this fourth practice of slowing down really is a summary of the other three. Slowing down comes out of simplifying. Simplifying our lives to only do what is needed, rather than responding to the oughts, the musts and the shoulds that society throws at us. Slowing down happens when we practice silence and stillness. Slowing down happens when we take Sabbath rest seriously. I want to pause, to invite you to pause again for a moment now and ask Jesus, what is one thing that I feel I must do that you say to me is not needed? What is the one thing, what is one thing that I feel I must do that you say to me is not needed? I wonder if you sensed anything, and certainly go away and ponder that question. And I think this idea also applies to us as a church as much as individuals. And as I've shared recently, I think we're in a season where God is pruning us back, stripping us down to show us what is really needed and what is just busyness with no fruit. That's why this season, I think, is such a gift to us. Perhaps he wants to take us from being a Martha church to a Mary church. But that's a whole other sermon, or maybe a PCC discussion. But I think there's a danger that we can take this passage too far the other way too. You see, if we look at this passage in isolation, we can easily think that what Jesus is requiring us to do is to give up everything and simply sit at Jesus' feet in silence and solitude, like Mary, all day long. Now, he may call a few folk to do that, and to do that every day. They're called monks and nuns. But for most of us, that's not what we're called to do. For Jesus didn't call his disciples to all be hermits either. But he called them to follow him, to live life fully with him, to build his kingdom with him, and while doing so, to be fully present with him in all that they did. For what Jesus was trying to cultivate in his disciples wasn't an escapism from the world and an avoidance of work and doing stuff, but he was trying to cultivate in them an ethos of living life out of the stillness of being in God's presence. And that's what we've talked about with Sabbath recently. The way John Mark Comer has talked about Sabbath, I think, is brilliant. Not making it the legalistic list of what we can't do on the Sabbath that some of us grew up with, but reminding us that Sabbath is a gift of rest and recharging, of reconnecting with the presence of God that fuels us for the rest of the week. As he writes, Sabbath is more than just a day. It's a way of being in the world. It's a spirit of restfulness that comes from abiding, from living in the Father's loving presence all week long. It's that dwelling with God that realigns us. It's that dwelling with God that realigns our culture-drifted priorities. It's that dwelling with God that reconnects us with God's bigger vision. It's that dwelling with God that resets our everyday in the bigger context of God and eternity. Slowing down and Sabbath rest lead us to live all 7 days of the week differently, more in tune with God. And this, I think, is what Jesus is doing here. This is what he's calling Martha to. He's not saying, stop working, don't bother doing any of those jobs, and just come and sit at my feet all day long. No, I think what he's inviting her to is not to miss the opportunity to reconnect with his presence. Not to miss the opportunity to recenter herself once again. Not to miss the opportunity to hand over her struggles, her worries, her anxiety to Jesus and allow him to transform them and for him to give her his peace. He's inviting her not to miss the opportunity to recharge herself in the busyness of her life, in his presence, so that she can find the joy and delight and fresh vision that will refuel her life to live the rest of the week more effectively and more in line with God. You see, the danger was that Martha was so busy running around doing for Jesus that she was in danger of missing being with him and receiving the very thing that Jesus came to offer her, his presence. And how true is that of us? Are we in the busyness of serving Jesus, of doing for Jesus, missing the very thing that Jesus came to offer us, his presence and life in all its fullness? Are we so caught up in the noise and clamour of the world around us? Are we so driven by its priorities, by its oughts and musts and shoulds, that we don't stop to be with Jesus and hear his still small voice saying, this is the way, walk in it? The invitation to slow down is not just a new age fix to live a calmer, less stressed life. It's an invitation from the God of the whole universe to live at a different pace so that we are more fully present to him and to others, and so that we're more fully living the life he has created us to live. So how do we do that? How do we put this into practice? Well, in many ways, I think it's about living out those other disciplines we've been talking about of silence and solitude, of Sabbath, of simplicity. And I want to just reinforce again that these things start by taking some very small steps which actually can have a big influence. Here's some examples. Get in the routine of taking a short walk in the middle of the day to recenter yourself with God, or merely stop in the middle of the day and say the Lord's Prayer. Turn off your phone notifications so that you can control your smartphone rather than allow your smartphone to control you. Review your weekly schedule and diary in time to just rest or have time for a hobby. Get into the longest line at the supermarket and spend the extra time in prayer. Here's one that I do. Listen to Lectio 365 or another Bible app on your phone or on your tablet and listen to it rather than read it, because listening to someone else speak it out, I find, slows me down and slows me to take more of it in than if I just read it really quickly. Learn to paint. Well, here's one. Sit in front of a candle, as Paul Hunt was saying, for 10 minutes a day, just to be in God's presence with no agenda. And as we do these small steps, we'll find ourselves slowing down to God's pace, the pace he's created us to live at. And as I finish, I want to remind us of a quote from the beginning of the book that I used in a sermon a few weeks ago, from Japanese theologian Kosuke Koyama, in his book, The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. 3 mile an hour being walking pace. And he says this. He says, God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It's an inner speed. It's a spiritual speed. It's a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we're accustomed. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love. I invite you to ask God to help you live this week at the speed of love. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. And what an interesting phrase, the speed of love. Let us have a moment of reflection. What does it mean for your life to slow down, to be able to listen, to hear, to sense God's presence in daily life? Lovely phrase, the speed of love. Let's just have a moment of quiet and consider Dave's words. And so let us declare our faith by saying the creed together, and we're going to say it at a speed of love. This is our love declaration to Christ, to our Lord and Saviour. And so let's say it at that speed. So we say together in faith, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things. For by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain. For with his blood we purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I don't know how you felt. I felt quite uncomfortable being so slow in saying those words. But isn't that the challenge that we're given today in our lives? To be able to dwell, to savour, and to know the presence of God. So let us continue now with our intercessions. And the response at the end of each section of our prayer will be, Lord, hear our prayer. Let us, with confidence, present our prayers and supplications to the throne of grace. Today we pray for all those in positions of power, that they may govern with wisdom and integrity, serving the needs of their people. And so at this time we particularly pray for our government and governments around the world as they continue to lead and govern through this coronavirus. May they govern with truth and with justice and with fairness. May your reign come. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the church, the sign of your reign, that it may extend your welcome to people of every race and background. Lord, we thank you for news of the growing, expanding church in places like Iran and other countries around the world. We pray that as talk of Christmas expands in this nation, that people would remember the heart of Christmas, the reason for Christmas being Christ, not the economy. May your church shine brightly in the coming weeks and draw those that don't yet know you to you. May your kingdom come this Christmas time. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those commitment to truth brings them into conflict with earthly powers, that they may have the courage to endure. Lord, we pray for ourselves and Christians wherever they are on their front lines, being kingdom people, speaking truth, loving in radical ways, showing mercy, kindness and justice in the world. Lord, give us courage to be your people in the world, in our families, in our friendships and in our neighbourhoods. May your rule come, Lord, hear our prayer. And in a moment of silence, let us bring to the God all those concerns on our hearts, the people that we care, that we pray for, and the things that are on our hearts. Let us pray. May your reign come, Lord, hear our prayer. And so, loving God, you have taught us that the power of the heart is greater than the power of wealth and might. Hear us as we pray for the fulfillment of your reign. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our King. To him be glory and power forever. Amen. And so, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now we come to the time where we're going to show a sign of peace to one another. Now, clearly being separate, well, I hope that you're with others and we can show a sign of peace to one another. But perhaps in your hearts, extend a declaration of peace to all those that you know and love. So, to crown all things, there must be love, to bind all together and complete the whole. So let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. Let us show one another a sign of the peace. Amen. And so you may have some bread or some wine with you to be able to join in this time. And of course, we know as these weeks have gone, we are separate physically, but in the spirit, we are gathered together, worshipping our Heavenly Father in the heavenlies. So we gather at this table. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And so on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And so, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So wherever you are at this moment, draw near to Christ with faith. Receive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you, in faith. And as I eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord, as we share, help us, Lord, to receive your calling to slow down. Help us to receive what it means to re-embrace Sabbath, simplicity, solitude and silence, so that we may practice the presence of God and know you in all parts of our daily lives. Amen. And so the prayer, post-communion prayer on this Sunday. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of your good works, may be by you be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So now we're going to sing our next hymn, which is Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. And as we sing this, let us remember the feast of Christ the King. Christ is sovereign over all creation. So let us sing. So our time of worship is now drawing to a close, and thank you for joining us this morning. I don't know how you're doing at this moment in this midway through this present lockdown. And of course, I hope that you are in a place of hopefulness and expectation rather than a place of despair and isolation. But let's remember those words of that hymn. God is good. God is our eternal hope. And if at all you can, continue to let all of us sing of God's hope and sovereignty. Let us remember that in the eternal scheme of things, God is sovereign. Christ rules over all creation. And he is with you at this time. So a couple of notices just before I finish with the blessing. Just to remind you, lots of information in the newsletter, which Dave pushes out. Please have a look to see what's going on and how you can stay connected. I've mentioned Advent. Gosh, it's almost upon us. And that's next Sunday. And we are finishing this teaching series of slowing down. But let us not forget, just move on from these truths. How do you take the Sabbath, the solitude, the simplicity, the slowing down into Advent and towards Christmas when it can be so frenetic? How do we continue to embed those ancient disciplines into our daily lives? So I offer that to you. And the final thing is that we continue to pray this month as in response to the call by the archbishops, a month of prayer for our nation in these challenging times. And you'll see in the newsletter, Friday 12, we're dedicating these Fridays to prayer. And the church is open for people to come and pray. But if you can't make it to church, pray in your workplace, pray at home on Fridays. Designate a time, set a time aside to pray for our nation. So let me finish with the blessing. Christ, our exalted King, pour upon you his abundant gifts and bring you to reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us throughout all our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.